God's got so many good things for us. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. It's great afternoon now, isn't it? Man, the time is just flying by. We're having a great time in the kingdom of God. So happy that you could join us today to be a part of what God is saying and what he is doing. And man, get plugged in. Don't hang out on the peripherals. Get right in the middle, of all that God is doing. And this past week, I'm going to show you at the end of the service some photos. And I tell you, that building is moving forward. They got all the walls up in the sanctuary, in the foyer. I got the drywall up. I've been putting electricity starting Monday. And it's only May 16th or something like that. So I'm telling you, it may be that we'll be in there sooner than August 1st. It might be around July or something, maybe. Who knows? Wouldn't that be great? Woo, that'd be great. We'd get in there quicker. So, hey, listen, we need to finish something today. Can we finish something? Okay, let's finish with this chair stuff. All right? I mean, we need about, I don't know, 200 more or something paid for. Can we just get that done today? Now, 200 times 50 is $10,000. So let's just get it done today, okay? So I don't have to be talking about the chairs next week or the week after. And how many would say amen? Amen. All right, so before you go today, and we'll get the offering on the way out, get some chairs. Everybody buy some chairs. Get some chairs for people that you're believing for, all those kind of things, and it'll be a great time. So don't forget Wednesday night. We had a great time this past week, and we're going to have another one this upcoming Wednesday night right here at Embassy Suites. But let's get to the Word. I can hardly stand it. I'm having a great time in the things of God today, and I get to be here, do this a second time. And I'm always thankful. Mark was in, and Nadine were in Lorraine this morning. It was great to see them. It was almost like, hey, what are you doing here? You know, you don't belong out here, but they do belong because they're part of the body of Christ. They were out there doing some work, and now they're back again. I thought you all just go on home, but you came back here. So that's wonderful. So let's get to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 8. You have a Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. That's what you need to get in here. You can't get in here without a Bible. Yes, you can. We put one right up on the screen. Isn't that great technology? If you don't have one, just look up here at the screen. And here's what the Word says. And I say to you. And that's what I like about the Word of God. It's so personal. God didn't say, I say to y'all. He said, I say to you. And God talks to us personally. And he's saying something to you. Now get that in your spirit. He's saying something to you. Of course, he's saying it to the body of Christ. He's saying it to the corporate gathering. But he's saying it to you individually. He says, and I say to you that many will come. And I like this part. Hallelujah. He'll come from the east and they'll come from the west. So I'm already in the west this morning, and now I'm in the east this afternoon. So I know that many are coming in the west, and many are coming in the east, because Jesus said so. Amen. He goes on to say, and sit down. Well, let's read it together, that part. Ready? And sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Did you get that? God said, people from everywhere, east and west, are going to be gathered together and sit down with not anybody. We're talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I don't know about you, but when I start thinking Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I start thinking about covenant. I start thinking about the blessings of Abraham that were passed on to, See, come on, the blessings of Abraham that you and I enjoy now through Jesus Christ. That's what Galatians talks about. Look at somebody and say, I'm just too blessed to be stressed. Come on, we are sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's inviting us to sit there. Now, you may be sitting with the wrong crowd. I've got to tell you, my background, I was sitting with some scoffers. Psalm 1 talked about that, my former life and your former life. Scoffed and mocked and made fun of, and it was a point of humor, the kingdom of God. But when Jesus came and saved you, opened up your blind eyes and gave you hope and put his spirit up inside of you, and like dead bones came together, and God raised you up as a mighty army. My goodness, now you're understanding that you are sitting down with covenant in your belly. You see, God has something for us today. He wants you to cross over. And then he wants to give you a makeover so that you can take over. Come on. It's not enough just to have a crossover. Not enough just to have a makeover. And some of y'all need a makeover. Hey, that's what my kids kept saying. Dad, why you got that old man haircut? Put your hair back and all that. And I thought it was cool. They said, it ain't cool, Dad. Just because it's long, it's still old man. You need to get something. You need a makeover. Voila. You know, it's funny. I get people looking at me, you know, this is like four or five weeks into this thing now. And people come up to me, they'll go, oh, what happened to you? I say, oh, you ain't been in church for 5 weeks. You got to be careful. Don't tell on yourself to the preacher now. See, us preachers, we know, we read between the lines. One of my greeters in the West, you know, Herman, he's the greatest guy. He stands out in the parking lot. He endures the weather and snow and rain. He hit me up this morning, started laughing at me. He was laughing at me. He said, Pastor, what happened to you? I said, where you been? He said, I've had to work on Sundays. I said, how many weeks? He said, two. I said, I had this done 5 weeks ago. But God wants to give us a makeover. But he wants to do that in order for us to take over. You know, the economy today in America is on shaky ground. Every economist would agree. Many are predicting by the end of the 2010 year, America will be in chaos financially. They're talking about the stock market dropping perhaps even half from somewhere around 10.6 that closed on Friday to maybe down to 6 or 7,000 points. Unemployment at 10%, some are projecting that unemployment could reach as high as 30% by the year's end. Not only in America, but all over the world. You see, there is struggle happening. Matter of fact, the Prime Minister of Canada has been quoted recently by saying, it is time for one world order. No, that's the words out of his mouth. He said, it's time for a new world order, and we need a one world leader. Now, that's something I used to hear about when I was first saved, that maybe someday, perhaps, could, maybe, should have, might happen when grandma, you know, long time from now. But now they're talking about it in the headlines. Did you know China, the nation that lends money to debtor nations, is out of money? Their economy is about to crash. And where does that put the church? They were talking about that life can change so drastically for America that even if you had the money to go and buy groceries, there wouldn't be anything on the shelf because there wasn't anybody employed to drive the truck, to unload it, to deliver it, to stock it. And already some of you are getting nervous. You think, well, what about faith, Pastor? Why don't you preach faith? Well, hold on. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I think it's all about perspective. It's all about where you're sitting that makes the difference. Because if you're sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I've got to tell you, never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seeds begging bread. I've got to tell you, if God has to bring manna in the morning, then God's going to do what God can only do. If God has to part the Red Sea, then get out the way. We're about to walk over on dry ground. Come on, slip your hand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Whoo, God's got you covered, amen? God's got us covered. And they're talking about a one world monetary system. It's the only way to fix. It's the only way to monitor the nations, whether it's Britain or whether it's Germany or Portugal or Spain, whether it's Italy or Greece, rioting and anarchy that's taking place around the world. Someone predicted it's coming to America. And that's why I believe, if you could put it back up again, Matthew chapter 8 and 11 is so critical. It's so important that we hear the call, clarion, coming from the voice of God himself that says, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. God has a place for you and me. And it's not in a common place. It's not in a normal place. It's in a very uncommon place. It's a very abnormal place. God's going to pluck us up and take us out and sit us down in a place of covenant that everybody around us might be in the dark. Everybody around us might be in lack. Everybody around us might be covered in flies. But in Goshen, where you sit, will be a supernatural place. Now, I'm just going to say this now, just in case it happens. Just in case, if the rapture takes place before I'm done preaching, I'll meet you on the north side and we'll take up over there, all right? And those of you that don't go, have at it. You can just go ahead and preach and sing and have all the equipment. You can have everything you want. Because that's how I believe the return of Christ is so imminent. Every prophecy speaks 700-800 of them about Christ coming again. Not one of them is yet to be fulfilled. They're all fulfilled. Israel became a nation in 1948. We understand that. We know how the nations today are postured against Israel. We know the nuclear threat out of Iran. We know our own president and how he is the most received and well-respected man around the nations in our real country's history. There's something about a global mentality that's taking on the masses. It's a setup. The Bible says in the last days, it's a setup. There will be an antichrist that will rise up. But I am so thankful that no matter how bad it gets in the economy, and no matter how they try to control and how they try to push back and push down. Listen, I read the statistics. John, Lisa, you guys know about teens. They say that less than 4% over the next 10 years or 5 years of teenagers 18 to 25 will actually commit and serve God in America. 4%. Did you know that we're declining in church attendance in record numbers? There are less people that attend church on Sunday today than has in the history of our nation. But those statistics don't bother me. Because I believe in the middle of all of it, God has a people who are hearing the invitation to come and sit down at the table of covenant. And my goodness, God's going to have his remnant. God's going to have his people. And I want to be a part of it. I've made a decision. I've made a choice that I'm going to be a part of this last day's remnant of God that walk in covenant. Shout hallelujah. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 23. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Hallowed in you. Before their eyes. I've prayed this prayer since the time I was a baby. I was taught by my own parents. You've taught your own children. You've prayed the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're in the season of hallowing his name. We're in the season of understanding what it means to enter into a sphere of the divine right, of God's divine rulership, hallowing his name, calling a people out of and into. And you may have been struggling over the past months and even years to get where you know God wants you to be, and you can't seem to break through into that place. I've got a word for you. This is a season of going beyond where you've ever been before. mark my words, because it's not just a sermon. This is a prophetic utterance of God that's speaking to a people that are reaching out in faith, who have been struggling, who have been pushed back, and who have been held down. This is a season. This is a time. This is a moment of your crossing over. You're going to come out of and you're going to come into. And I'm not just trying to pump you up. I'm not just trying to get a shout or an amen. I'm telling you the word of the Lord. Because the voice of God has gone forth, and he's calling his people from the east and the west to come and sit down at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is no small thing. You see, whatever has been preventing you from coming into is about to be removed. Ezekiel 36 and 33 says it this way. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. Shout with me. It's crossover time. Say it again. It's crossover time. One more time. It's crossover time. You've got to get this in your mind. You've got to absorb it in your spirit. I'm not staying the where I've been. I'm not going to continue in the kind of life I've known. I'm about to be called out of. I'm about to be ushered into. This is the moment of the voice of Jesus himself, who is calling his church from the east and the west to come and sit at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, I can't even begin to tell you where I have sat. I've sat in the seat of depression. I've sat in the seat of indifference. I've sat in the seat of faithlessness, even as a preacher, and so have you. I've sat in the seat of anger and resentment and bitterness. But God's calling me out of that place, wondering, will he ever do what he said he will do? The prophecies have been spoken. I've got more prophecies spoken over my life than most people will have in a lifetime. I've got them stacked up in a file of what God said he would do. And I keep wondering, God, when are you going to do what people have said that you're going to do? I'm just wondering, when is the time coming? Have you received a prophecy that said you're going to go to the nations, or you're going to meet with leaders, or you're going to write a book, or you're going to sing a song, or you're going to start a church, or you're going to evangelize the world, or you're going to be this, or you're going to be that, and it's never happened? Let me set you up. That era, that season is about to end. As a matter of fact, it's ending for some of you already. You're beginning to see the crossover. You're beginning to see the other side, the light at the end of the tunnel. You're beginning to feel and witness the change that's happening, because it's crossover time. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't skipped over you. There are more disillusioned, disenchanted believers living in America who now have disconnected and walked away from God because they haven't seen what they thought God would do come to pass. They've been promised a blessing for $1,000. They've been promised this in 30 days, and it's come and it's gone. And they become angry and disillusioned and having no faith in the word of God. It was a setup of the enemy to get us to sit in the back row, to be insignificant, to be normal, to be one of the crowd, to be common. But I've got to announce to you, God didn't save you to keep you normal. God didn't fill you with his Holy Spirit so you can become common like everybody else. You are so unique and special in the kingdom of God and vital to the overall plan of God that he's declaring with the voice of the Spirit, come and sit down at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's sort of Mephibosheth. That's it. Say that with me. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the grandson of King Saul. Do you remember the story? Mephibosheth had all kinds of problems. First of all, his granddaddy got carnal, backslid, lost the kingdom, was killed. His daddy, Jonathan, was it Jonathan? He got killed. He was next in line for the kingship. And some little shepherd dude by the name of David took it away from him. You know, some of us have felt that we've been in line. We've been next in line. I've been waiting. I've been standing here. You know what irritates me? When I'm standing in line and somebody cuts in front of me. It's like, excuse me, you don't see me? I was next. You ever sit at the counter? You know, I try to want to be Christian about it, but I have a hard time in that realm. I don't have total victory yet. And I've been standing there for 15 minutes and really, I'm standing in line. I'm just moving up, and I don't do lines or crowds well, but I go ahead and submit to it. And the lady says, next, and a woman, usually it's a man. I said, usually it's a man, but a woman stepped in front of me and said, excuse me, I just need to ask a question. I said, the line is back there. Have you ever felt passed over? Somebody cut in front of you. Everybody else is getting the answer. Everybody else is getting the blessing. And you keep standing there waiting for God to do something. And he's not doing anything. And everybody that was doing something for you have quit. That was Mephibosheth. And one day David woke up and he said, I feel like being a blessing. Is there anybody left of the house of Saul? He said, well, yeah, there's this little guy by the name of Mephibosheth, the grandson of King Saul, but, you know, he's not much. He's lame in his feet. He's crippled, living in abject poverty, obscurity. And David said, bring him to the house. I want to be a blessing to him. Mephibosheth, who it seemed like circumstance after circumstance, kept rising up and holding him down and pushing him back. Because when they were fleeing from the palace, the woman that was watching him lost her footing, tripped, fell on top of him and made him lame. It wasn't even of his own doing. It wasn't even his decision. It was somebody else's error of judgment that caused him to be lame. And now the message came. Mephibosheth, King David wants to see you. King David is calling you to come and sit down at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what Mephibosheth said. If you put it up there, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 8 to 13, Mephibosheth walks into the presence of King David. He bowed himself down and he said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? That's how Mephibosheth saw himself. That's what life did to him. That's what events and circumstances and people caused him to become. Like a dead. Worthless. What do you want with me? What do you want with me? And the king began to speak to him. And he called Ziba, one of Saul's servants, and he said, this is what I'm going to tell you to do for him. I want you to get all his vineyards, and I want you to begin to plant harvests, and I want you to make this young man wealthy. And then at the end of the text, he says this to Mephibosheth, and by the way, boy, I want you to come and sit down at my table like one of the king's sons. Now, I tell this story. When I first met Dr. Lester Sumrall, some of you know of him, some of you do not, an elder statesman, By this time, he was already 70 years of age when I met him, and his ministry had become well established. Many of us who enjoy the ministry of deliverance, it's as a result of his teaching. Introducing the body of Christ through Howard Carter, his mentor, the gifts of the Spirit. All of us now know the gifts of the Spirit, but back then it was a pioneer mentality who dug deep into the Word of God to bring the fullness of the gospel to us, of which now we enjoy. He coined the phrase, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. He had preached in nearly every country of the world, preaching 7 nights a week, flying in a jet from one community and one nation to another. This is a man who built a hangar for a C-130 before he owned it, bought one from the government before they were willing to sell them, bought not one ship but two to deliver food to the hungry around the world. And when I first met him, something jumped in my spirit and said, I must learn from this man. So off we would go. Every Thursday night, we would drive from Lorain, Ohio to South Bend, Indiana, 4.5-hour drive one way. So we'd leave about 1:30 in the afternoon to be at church by 7. Sitting there somewhere in the back row, timid, unsure of ourselves, didn't know anybody, got our Bible and our notebook and began to take notes. Because I learned that one word from God can change your life forever. Week after week, we would come. He would have an event. We would be there. And I remember the time, I don't even know exactly if it was a Thursday night, I think it was, when Dr. Summerall's ushers, who you could always tell were ushers because they wore red ties and many times red blazers, they stood out in the crowd. And he walked to the third or fourth row to the back and tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, excuse me, Dr. Summerall would like for you to come and sit next to him tonight. And I said, why? He doesn't even know my name. So we got up and grabbed our things. You know how it is, you get your space out, you know. Tina put her shoes back on, picked up her purse. You know how it is in church. Notebooks and pens, and we're fumbling around down the aisle all the way to the front where the Holy of Holies were. And I sat right next to Dr. Summerall, put his hand on my knee, and he said, it's great to see you. And I went, thank you. Now, on the way down, everybody was wondering who I was. Because nobody knew my name. I had come from obscurity. I had come from no national ministry. I didn't fly in my jet, and I wasn't on TBN. But I walked past all of them that were. And took my seat. You know what happened after the service? They all wanted to meet me. So who are you? Where are you from? I mean, are you on TBN? Do you have a jet? How does Dr. Summerall know you? Before I took my seat of invitation, I was common. But once I took my seat of prominence, not because of me, but who I was sitting next to, everybody wanted to know who I was. So the next time we were in South Bend, I sat in the back, not presuming that that was only a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Sure enough, the usher would come back. I said, Tina, I think they're coming back here again. I think he's coming to get us. And sure enough, Dr. Summerall would like for you to come up and sit with him. By this time, we're like, yeah, all right. sit down next to Dr. Summerall, put his hand on my knee, said, it's good to see you. What's powerful about that is that invitation, but more importantly, my willingness to accept, separated me from 99.9% of the people. Because there was only one place next to him, and I was in it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't buy it. I didn't manipulate my way into it. Huh? I didn't even pray about it. It wasn't even a desire. I didn't have to sit next to him. But God knew that when I changed my position, everything I had formerly known was about to change. Because you see, when I sat down next to this man, he began to introduce to me a level of vision and a level of faith that had I not changed my seat, I'd have never known. He took me to the hangar where the C-130 was, Daryl. And he said, I want you to go walk in the cargo bin of that. I want you to get up into the pilot's seat. I want you to sit there. I said, oh my God, what am I doing inside of this thing? I'm walking inside of a vision. And I'll never forget, on a Christmas season, my wife and I and our children, when they were that little at that time, went to his house and knocked on the door and said, Dr. Summerall, we don't want to interrupt you, but we brought you a Christmas gift. He said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Come in the house. Where 99.9% of the people had never been. And I walked in and we were so careful not to do anything wrong. I'm thinking, boy, my children, if you guys mess up, this is going to, you are going, you better be right. And he began to give us a tour of his house. He pointed to a place in the kitchen where he had a little table. He said, this is where I write my books. He wrote over 150 books, authored languages all over the world, had a printing press down below in his church that he literally sent out pallets full of teaching materials. He said, this is where I write them. From about 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning, he said, I've designated that as my time that I hear from God, and I write books right here. This is where I sit. Oh, okay. And he began to point to artifacts that he had received from all over the world for commendations of his actions. This is from the president of Nigeria. And this one here came from the council here. And this is from the prime minister there. And this, by the way, he said, let me show you where I sleep. And remember, Tita, he took us into his bedroom. And I felt like, what are we doing in here? Walking inside of Dr. Lester Summerall's bedroom. And at the time, I don't think I fully comprehended what God was doing in our life. But from that moment on, our life would never be the same. Because we changed positions. We sat in the seat of faith. God's call is coming to all of us today to sit down at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what the craziest thing was? We'd go to his camp meetings. Benny Hinn would preach there. Rod Parsley, maybe you've heard of those guys. Oral Roberts, when he was still alive, he'd preach there. And afterwards, they'd have like a dinner for all the preachers. And the usher would come by with a little invitation. They'd say, Dr. Summerall requests your presence at his dinner after the service. And I'd take that and I'd say, thank you very much. We were so privileged because there were thousands of people. There were hundreds of preachers. And there was about 50 to 100 in the back. We'd sit down at one of the tables. We'd start conversations. So where are you from? Where are you pastoring at? What's your ministry like? And suddenly I'd get this usher that would tap me on the shoulder. And he would say, Dr. Summerall would like for you to join him at his table. And I'd look over at the table, and there's Oral Roberts sitting there. Dr. Summerall and his wife when she was still alive. There's Benny Hinn. There's Rod Parsley. And there's one seat empty. And surely that's not my seat. But yeah, they sat me down right next to him. And I'm trying to eat my food. And I look over at the table next to me, and there's his son, Steve. There is his other sons who are heads of areas of ministry, and they're sitting in the table next to me, and I'm sitting next to Dr. Summerall at a table with people that everybody would know their profile, know everything about, and they all look over there and say, who is he? I'm just Mephibosheth. I'll tell you one more story. He bought a ship. You know, most people can't buy boats. Dr. Summerall buys a ship so he can get food to the hungry. He says, I'm going to dedicate this ship in New Orleans, Louisiana. I want you to come. So a bunch of preachers came. We all flew into New Orleans. We're at the dock. Tents, TV cameras, dignitaries, senators, mayors, council people. We walk in, we take a seat. Usher comes up and says, Dr. Summerall would like for you to sit next to him. I said, okay. So by this time, we're getting used to that, but never presumed to do it. Sat down. He leans over to me. He said, I'm glad you're here. Then he said, my speaker can't make it today. He said, I want you to do the dedication of the ship. I swear to God, that is a true story. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, what did I preach last Sunday? What am I preaching this Sunday? Do I know anything about the Bible right now? What am I going to possibly say? TV cameras, people from all over the world, and Dr. Summerall wants me to preach the dedication. Oh, the speaker that was supposed to do it, Rod Parsley from Columbus, Ohio, but he couldn't make it. So I'm the fill-in guy. From that day on, my life left the common for the uncommon. Living a life of expectation, knowing that you don't have to have anybody else know who you are. All you need to remember is God knows who you are. He can make the arrangements. He can create the circumstances around your life. And it's time for us to think in terms of the invitation that Jesus Christ is bringing to the church today. This is the moment. Some of us are going to wait too long. Some of you have already waited too long. Because when this world begins to convert, when it begins to twist and fall, and when it begins to be formed into a one-world government, and when you're challenged to take the mark, by the way, printed recently and released through the European Union, it is their goal and the IMF's goal to somehow put a mark or a chip in every human being by 2017. In order to monitor this global economy. Now, I don't know about that. That's the mark. I don't know if that's what Revelation talks about. All I do know is that this is a reality. This is a surety. This is the future of this world. But those that are hidden away in Christ, those that have heard the invitation, come and dine. Those that will get up from where you've been sitting in the seat of a scoffer and a mocker about the things of God and will rise up and walk that aisle and sit down even though you know you're not worthy. And even though you drag your leg and everybody knows that they know that you're nobody and that you don't know a thing. All I need to do is know one thing. I just need to know Him who invited me. As long as I know Him who invited me. You don't have to know me as long as they know Him. And as I traveled with Him in various places, I was blessed to do it. he'd walk in the maybe center on Oral Roberts University. Security would let him through, and I'm walking behind him, and they put a hand up. And I'd said, I'm with him, and they put their hand down. I just made sure I stayed in step, because if I got too far behind, they wouldn't believe me. And some of you have gotten too far behind. You're not in step with your King. You're not in step with your Redeemer. You have lagged behind. You have begun to fall away. You're getting too much space between you and the God that redeemed you. This is the time you got to close the gap. This is the season where we got to become more intimate with Him. This is the point where we've got to refuse to believe what other people are saying and take your rightful place at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wants to execute judgment on the thing that's been holding you back. You see, it's time to cross over, but some of us need a makeover so that we can take over. I preached a part of this message on Wednesday night of Matthew 13 that a man sowed seed. He said the kingdom of God is like a man sowed seed. And I'll quit with this. I could preach probably all afternoon. But anyway, Matthew 13, a seed was planted. He went to sleep and the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And if you know anything about tares, they resemble wheat to the point that you can't tell the difference. And the problem in the kingdom of God has been that we compare ourselves among ourselves. And we look over at the tares and they're not bearing any fruit, so we figured it's all right. But the tares don't have the ability to bear fruit. You do. Nobody expects tares to bear fruit, but God expects it of you and me. But even that's not the point of this message. The point of that particular text is this. For a long time now in the house of God, there have been tares preaching from the pulpit, just like there's wheat preaching from the pulpit. And we really can't tell the difference. There have been deacons who are deaconing and elders who are eldering. And there's been singers who have been soloing. And they're tares and they're wheat and we don't know the difference. There have been congregations who call themselves a church. And they're tares with wheat spread out in them. And nobody can tell the difference because they name the field, they name the house, God's house. But there's coming a time, and this is the moment. This is the moment when something inside of you cannot be dormant any longer. Something inside of you is flowing. Something inside of you is coming to the top of your spirit. And just like that wheat that looked like the tare, it's beginning to be transformed and it's changing and it's beginning to flower and it's beginning to bud and it's going to cause grain to appear on the stalk of that wheat. And the tare will be evident. There is a separation coming in the kingdom of God. There are those who hear the voice and the invitation to come and sit. And there are others who are content to sit where they've been. We're embarking upon a historic moment. I don't know if you really sense that. But 2.5 years into this, God has brought us at a strategic inflection point. We're about to possess a permanent facility in the heart of a city that within 10 minutes, 1.1 million people live, and within 20, nearly 2 million people live. God's planted us within minutes of the busiest intersection in the state of Ohio. God's given us favor with an owner who has made it affordable. And like a Cyrus is doing everything to get us in there. We cannot take our seats in that place the way we have been sitting. This is a time where it's not about you or me. And we've got to quit letting the devil lie to us that we're not worthy. Because I went through that with Dr. Summerall. And then the ridicule by the people who remained in their seats. I remember the first time he put me on his jet airplane. "This is where I sleep," he says. "Sit down." I remember the time I picked him up in a limousine for our first camp meeting. You know, limousines, they have like 20 feet of leather seats all the way around it. He's sitting on the one side. I get in. I sit on the opposite side. He looks at me and he goes, "Hmm." And he would often grunt. That's what he just, "Hmm." He said, "Come sit here." "Well, there's no one else in here, Dr. Summerall. This is just an empty limousine. And like, I'm over here and you're over there." He said, "Sit here." And so I slide off the leather seat and maneuvered my way and sat down next to him and put his hand on my knee. And he said, "It's good to see you." And I said, "I feel uncomfortable." And he looked at me and he said, "Have you been to Russia?" "Am I supposed to have been?" "God wants you to go to Russia." "Okay, I'm going." It wasn't long after that, was it, that we went, preached a crusade in Oriel, Russia. 5,000 people gave their life to Jesus. And so the call has come to you today to come and sit down. When we possess that building, we're not just going into a facility because this is fine. We're going into a seat. We're moving into a location of proximity to the divine plan of God. No, it's not just a building. There were pews all over the place. His sanctuary sat 4,000 people. But there was one seat that he wanted me to occupy. There are buildings all over Cleveland. We looked at over 30 of them. God said, "This is the one that you occupy. Because out of this, you'll go to the nations. Out of this, you'll go to Russia. Out of this, you'll see healings and deliverance. Out of this, you'll see salvation. Out of this, you'll see great works of the Holy Spirit. Out of this, you need to come and you need to dwell." And so as I close today, I'm asking you for your help. I'm asking you to believe with me for a chair. Just a simple old chair of $50. That's all it is, just $50. And we need 200 more of them. Let's finish it today. Let's do it. And then on top of that, we need to raise $300,000. We have to put sound in. We have to put lighting in. We have to put flat screens in. We have to put education material in. We have to put our youth hall. Our youth hall is going to be off the hook. Oh, yeah. We got to put decor in. We got to put mats down to get the snow off your feet when we walk through the doorway. Got all this to do, and it's our opportunity if you and I will just do it. I think in your Coastal View today, you got a little card in there, did you not? That's at least what I was told. Put the pictures up, please. We're asking you to do something. I'm going to explain these, so don't go too quickly. Tina, let me have that one. It's okay. This is the back of the platform. You'll walk behind the platform, choir, singers, musicians, and there's doorways there where you go in and prep, pray, position yourself in the Holy Ghost, and then come out on the platform in the anointing. That's right there. That's what that hallway is. And at the far end, I got an office. Next picture. This is the wall in the foyer. That's a big wall. You see, inside those doors is the entrance to the sanctuary, where God's going to save sinners, heal the sick, and deliver the oppressed. Right there. Right there. In this corner here, up against that wall, it's going to be a nice little cafe where you can get a cappuccino. Somebody already donated the cappuccino machine. It's already done. Next photo. This is the foyer. Next photo. From the other angle, this is the children's and youth room. Doesn't look like much now, but the floor will be poured. The far end will be the children's hall that'll seat approximately 175 to 200 youth and children. On this end, we'll have five classrooms. On the side up here, it's 6,000 square feet, will be your nursery with bubble room, all exclusive restrooms just for teens, just for children, no adults allowed. It's for security. Next photo. This is the auditorium, I believe, right? Say it again. Okay, this is the auditorium and the sanctuary. You can see how high it is. And there's a platform here to the right. Straight ahead is the platform. Oh, we're standing. Oh, right here. This is the platform. What's this? That's the front part of the platform. Oh, you're in the sound booth. Okay, never mind. Go to the next picture. This. Okay, this is from the back looking towards the front. The next photo, do you have any more? Or is that it? Okay. On this card, we're asking for somebody to help us. On this card, we're asking for one person to give $40,000. That's a lot of money, but that's not much to some. Then we're asking at least two people to give $20,000. We're asking four people to give at least $10,000. Six people to give at least $5,000. Eight people to give at least $4,000. 10 people to give at least $3,000. 12 people to give at least $2,000. And then on and on. 20 at one, 30 at 500, 76. That's an odd number, at $250, and $100 at $100, which would meet our goal. And the Holy Spirit has to speak to you to tell you what to give. I can't tell you what to give. And I'm not going to twist your arm to do it. But I am going to tell you this is our opportunity. This is our moment to fulfill the very plan of God in this region. Now, you can give this over 6 months or over a year if you want to. It doesn't matter to me. You can pledge it and say, I'll pay it over the next 12 months, or I'll pay it over the next 6 months, or I'll write you a check next week. It doesn't matter to me. But we need to do this as a congregation because my bills are coming in and we are out of money. So I have to pay for spools of wire that cost $5,000. I have to finish paying for the chairs. We have to begin to order the lights. I've already had to order $80,000. Is it $80,000 for sound equipment? $100,000. It just went up. So $100,000 for lighting and sound, which has to be ordered. Because if we don't order it now, it won't come in by the time we need to move in. So we have to do it. So if you're waiting until we get into the building, don't do that because we're going to go in the building. All right? And I don't want to work no part-time job. So Holy Spirit, you pray. Come on. Holy Spirit, you move upon our hearts. You speak to us today. We're hearing your voice. And over the next few weeks and months, God, write on our own heart what it is we ought to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did anybody hear about Joey? Oh, it is. I'm sorry. Okay. Joey is okay. Hallelujah. He hit a truck. He hit a truck? Okay. Maybe on his bike or something? Yeah. Praise God. That's good news. He's banged up, but he's going to be okay. That's a frightening experience, isn't it? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, on our way out today, we're going to give our tithe and offering. And thank you for being so faithful. You know, I've never, since we started, ever had to be concerned about the giving here. It's always been stellar. Thank you. No pressure here. Isn't that wonderful? So you make your check out to CNC. You can give it on the way out. Let's stand and we'll conclude our service this morning, afternoon. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad for your salvation today? Aren't you happy? Are you happy? I hope you're happy. God is good. Karen, we're praying with you. Karen lost her daddy this past Tuesday, I think it was, or Wednesday, Tuesday. So Karen Bramley and Clarence, praying for them. Send your love to them today. If you see them, just tap them on the shoulder and say, God's peace. Okay, thank you. And the little bottles outside, I guess, are for Cornerstone Pregnancy Center. You put your change in that for them. That's cute, isn't it? God's gift. And you just help them. And you just help them. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I want to say thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I want to say thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation, so full and free. Would you slip a hand up and say, I want to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want to say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for making me whole, for giving to me thy salvation so full and so free. Elders, would you come around the front, please? If you need prayer today, if your body is weak, if your emotions are frail, if you're wondering what to do and what direction to take, God has a way for you. God has a plan. We want to come into agreement with you. If you've not given your life to Jesus, come. Come to Jesus today. He loves you. He loves you. And we want to pray with you. So as we close today, thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving this ministry, for loving Jesus. So you live right, okay? Love everybody. Pray hard. Wednesday night at 7, I'll be waiting to meet with you. God bless all of you. Be friendly on the way out.